Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post haste at simplysafe.com/Adam. Comedian Jody Miller hangs out, very funny, and we'll do trending topics as well. So that's all coming in the first half. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Inside the toolbox, rocking and grooving as the beat keeps moving. We ain't perfect, but we keep improving. Request lines are open for the lunchbox at noon. Dinner for two at Olive Garden is up for grabs. Olive Garden, when you're here, you only have yourself to blame. Here's to hoping you find someone to love as much as Cool and his gang love this chick, Joanna, on the toolbox.
Joanna.
Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Jody Miller. With Mike Dawson filling in on news, and Chris Loxamana shares some trending topics. And now, mirthing person, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The church, maybe you got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show with a friend. We love that about you, right, Jody Miller?
Oh, my God. Yes, you're sharing it right now with me.
Yeah, Ball, Brian, and Gina both are out of town and both had something to do and couldn't go in the morning. So I said, all right, we'll get Jody Miller in here. Comedian, writer, actress. She's got a podcast. She writes on many shows you've heard of. She's appeared in the ninth season of America's Got Talent, and she's recently adopted a baby.
Yes, and the baby's in the car, so we have to speed this up, Adam.
Well, it's warm. It's unseasonably warm, but it's not.
That's why I brought her.
It's not Arizona hot.
No, she's fine.
Crack the window.
Oh, it's cracked.
You know, it's interesting. It made me think of something that, and then maybe you can shed some light on this. Dr. Drew brought it up the other day, which is, it's hot outside.
Yeah.
And I have a big black lab.
Yes.
You just saw Phil.
Yes.
And I started to notice this trend, which is women, once they hit 40, become obsessed with dogs being hydrated.
Oh.
And I started noticing it because whenever my wife would leave town or anything, all the discussions were about Phil and his water bowl. It was never like, do you have something to eat? Who's going to feed the kids?
Take them to school. They don't care about you.
No, it was like, make sure Phil has water. Phil's got to have water. And then sprinkled in between would be these like small outbreaks of Phil's water bowl is empty. Who's you're in charge of Phil. And then I started walking around the neighborhood with Phil, and two separate women pulled over their SUVs to offer Phil water. Not me.
Do you ever give your dog water? Does your dog just look dehydrated? Are you like
He's large. He's black, which means he drinks up the sun.
Right.
And he hangs his tongue out. All the time. Like, he has a look of like, oh God, oh, the humanity, oh, it's brutal out here. And so women drive by in SUVs and pull over to help the panting dog.
The panting dog.
But he's fine. Do you have a dog and do you have a hydration obsession with
hydration
the dog?
Hydration issue. Here's the thing. You said woman over 40 and right away, I go to, we're cat ladies. I don't know which women you're talking about, but all I see is cats. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's not that I don't care about dogs. I think they're great. But if I saw you and Phil walking and the tongue was hanging out, I'd be like, what a cute dog. And that'd be it.
Here's my thing. I feel like if my tongue was hanging out, you would still offer Phil the water.
Probably.
First.
I definitely would, because I would be like, this poor dog is walking with a man who clearly needs medical help. Let me get the dog away from this gentleman.
So you recently adopted, which I'm interested in.
Because she looked dehydrated. I saw her and I was like, my God, my daughter looks dehydrated. You're not hydrating this baby. I'm going to take this baby.
How does the process work?
Okay. So, I mean, it's so interesting because I didn't know a lot about the process either. I knew, you know, obviously we know foster to adopt or adopt. So basically, do you want brand new or previously owned? That's
right.
Like my joke. Like,
right.
Which do you, you know, and I was like, I'm going to go with a newborn baby. And in order to do that, you have to match.
Because you feel you're like. Like, that's what my parents felt like. Like, we would like to ruin this child ourselves.
Exactly.
We don't want someone else to ruin it.
I don't want a kid that's already damaged. Yeah. I don't want them to be like, they're going to have some emotional problem. Like, no.
They wanted to damage their kids.
I definitely.
You damage your
own
kids.
When my daughter is in therapy in 20 years, I want to be the cause. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
And I'm already off to a fantastic start, in case anybody was wondering. So basically, you have to match with a birth mom. So you have to put together a profile. It's exactly like online dating. I mean, except at the end, you get a baby. But like, I had to put all these pictures together of me like doing, you know, active things, hiking, me at the holidays. And I'm just trying to match with a birth mom or birth
parents.
So
the mom is vetting.
She's vetting. She's pregnant. They're usually not in the best circumstances, these moms. A couple of the birth mom possibilities I got, they were prostitutes, they were homeless, they'd already had multiple babies that they had given up for adoption, some of them that were just taken. It's a lot of sad stories.
Sure, yeah.
And then a couple of like young girls, not teenagers, but like young girls that, you know, already maybe had a baby, couldn't even really afford that one. So I was going through this process for about a year and a half with not a lot of luck.
Did it feel weird being vetted by
a prostitute?
Basically a homeless prostitute.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, in a way, you're sort of, they're passing judgment. I mean, vetting is judging.
Yeah.
And here's a person that probably shouldn't be judging, but has something that you want, so they're in a position to judge.
So right before I got my daughter, and I say right before, which was actually 6 months prior, I had like nothing, no nibbles. Like, I didn't get any birth mom possibilities, because in the pecking order of things, it's like straight couples, gay couples, single women, single men, as far as like what the birth mom
is. There's a hierarchy.
Yes.
Right.
So my lawyer sends me a text.
Are you a single woman?
I am a single woman.
Okay.
And now I'm a single mom, so if there's any daddies out there.
Mm-hmm.
I get this possibility. My lawyer sends me this possibility.
I do want to say this as a father, which is, I think when anyone enters a relationship a little later on, a little downstream,
right,
a little older in life, they think in terms of baggage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how many kids do you have?
Right.
How many mortgages do you have? Do you have a crazy ex?
Yes.
You know? And I always thought about this. And I'll circle it back to you adopting, which is, Chris, I can't remember. Maybe, Jody, you know the name. There was this beautiful, beautiful model, and she was vacationing in whatever island nation she was in when that tsunami swept in.
Oh, yeah, the model, and she held onto the pole.
She hung onto the tree, and her boyfriend was taken out to sea and never seen again. Yes. That's what you want for the next boyfriend wants that.
Yes.
Not the weirdo texting in the middle of the night drunk, not the guy hanging around.
Right.
He's just out. He got swept out to sea. And, she'll shed a few tears, but then she's on to you. You know, turn the page.
Yeah.
Petra Nemkova. Yes. Right. So again, I feel bad for him, but for her next boyfriend, There's just nothing worse. Or you have to see him at a party because they run in
there's
the same
no
circles.
There's no ex
swept,
to deal with.
Literally,
done.
God.
Bye-bye.
God took him out.
Bye-bye.
God took him to sea.
Yeah.
And as a potential suitor, I feel like showing up with the adopted, you have the adopted child versus the ex and the custody and the messiness and you're handing him off and he's got to show up and you got to open the door. All out to sea.
So you're saying I'm more desirable?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Right.
You guys heard it here.
Right. More desirable than someone with a kid.
Right.
But not more desirable than a single woman without a kid.
Well, here's the thing. I actually disagree with that only because I've been single my whole life. And when you're single in your 40s, and this is only for ladies, not so much for men. If you are single in your 40s, meaning you've never been married and you don't have kids, it is all of a sudden your fault and it's a red flag.
Oh, so interesting.
For me,
yeah.
Actually being a single mom now, even without them knowing yet I'm adopted, already I actually have just inched a little bit above never been married, never had kids in my 40s.
Knowing you've adopted. Not that you were adopted.
That I was adopted. I wasn't adopted.
Right, No, you know what it is, you're right. It goes from sort of single spinstress to I'm getting on
but
with
why
my
is
life.
That, by the
I've
way.
Made a choice.
It was my ex who told me that, and I didn't put it together. We reconnected. You know, we're in mid-40s. He was going through a divorce, and I'm from Jersey originally. He was in Jersey, and he was like, you know, all my friends were like, that's a red flag. She's never been married, no kids, and she's in her 40s. Why is that? Does it just scream that we're crazy? What is it? Like, I really genuinely want to know.
I think it's a two-way street. I think there's a version of that for guys.
Okay.
Too. Not quite the stigma.
Right.
But there's still, how come this guy's never been married? There's an element of that. Here's my answer, and I've never thought about it. But the beauty of me is I can give well-articulated arguments on things that have never crossed my mind.
Excellent.
I think as human beings, we work in patterns.
Okay.
So we go... You walk on this side of the street. Like, it's like if you saw someone walking down the street backward.
Right.
You would go, what the fuck? Because we have a pattern.
Yes.
If everyone walked backward, then you wouldn't do
that
it. So we have a, you know, go to high school, go to college, have a sweetheart, get married, have a kid, possibly divorce, whatever it is. But we go pattern, 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 get a job, buy a home.
Right.
It's like when you see someone who is in their 50s and they live in an apartment. You're like, what happened to the pattern part where you get your first job and then you buy your first starter house in your 30s or whatever? So pattern, pattern, pattern. So when we see woman 40, never married, no kids, we go, oh, pattern breaker.
She's doing something different. And what is she doing? And why isn't she falling into line?
Right. And then when we see someone who's outside of the rhythm of the pattern, we always stop. And it's a self-preservation thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you see everyone who looks like they belong in this picnic at the park or the tailgate party at the Rose Bowl or whatever. And then you see someone who doesn't look right. And you're kind of like, is that an Antifa guy? Like, what's that guy doing there? Why is that person here? You know what I mean? Or just, you know, the people who walk up and down your street, you know, and then all of a sudden you see someone who doesn't look right.
Yeah.
You go, pattern, pattern break. Pattern break is like a self-protection thing.
You're right.
And so, or like you see someone wearing a trench coat in the middle of the summer. You go, what?
Totally normal, pattern, by the way.
Pattern break.
Yes.
And so, not married in their 40s, never been married.
Right.
No kids. Pattern break. Stop. Self-preservation.
Right. Now, you did say it, though. It doesn't hold as true for men until maybe they reach 50, because in their 40s, they're like, he's really coming to his own. He's like, you know what I mean? He's starting to settle down. He's still, you know, he's finally dating women that are slightly older than their 20s. So, so we're okay with that. It's just, it's so funny. And I think we get a little bit of forgiveness living in Los Angeles. I think I got a little bit of forgiveness, but you get a lot of that. What's wrong with you? Like, stop mouth-kissing your cat and...
Well, there's a lot of... I think it's mostly what did others find wrong with you?
You think that's what people are thinking?
Right, because the assumption is...
Because I think that all the time. I just wanted to know if other people thought
I'm thinking it right now. You're... No, so here's this thought. You're a woman. You're in your 40s. You want to be married, and you want to have kids. That's the assumption. That's the pattern.
Right.
The reason you're not is not because you don't want to be married. It's that somebody found things wrong with you.
Right.
Others found things that were wrong with you. And then as the new suitor, again, everything's self-preservation. Everything's looking out. What's wrong with you that I'm going to encounter?
Right.
Why didn't other guys want to marry you?
I have so much to talk to my therapist about now.
Yeah.
Also, having said that, though,
the session? If you want me to just kind of show up and just kind of
I think we should just
shepherd.
Patch her in. Can we patch her in?
I can broach a lot of these subjects.
I just leave here today crying, just stop off at 11 a.m., start drinking.
So, yeah, there's the but the kid.
Yes.
The kid helps because the kid says.
That's what I'm saying. And she's beautiful.
The kid says you are doing your own thing. You're a pattern breaker, but for a reason.
Right.
This is the difference between, you know, like they're the people who sort of live a certain lifestyle. They live in a small home and they recycle and they have solar and they're off the grid a little bit. They've sunk their own well. They're right. Pumping their own water. And so there's a version of that. Like if I was a single dude and I said, I'm off the grid. I dug my own well. I create my own electricity. I live in this small, modest, whatever. There's a version where you go, oh, that's fucking Ted Kaczynski. That's the Unabomber.
Yeah, that's the version I would have.
But then there's another version where it's like, oh, independent.
Saving the planet.
Health-minded.
Yeah.
Blah. He's got all the money. He could live in 7,000 square foot in Holmby Hills, but he has chosen to. So now with the kid, you're off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
But we can look at you as an outlier now.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Smart.
That's why I did it, guys.
Smart. But there's a limit. Like once you get to six kids,
now
you're crazy again.
You're a parent. So you know, by the way, it is, I don't think anyone can ever be prepared, whether you have 9 months or, by the way, I had less than 12 hours when I got the call.
Mm-hmm.
Circle back to that. Right before I got my daughter, it had been 6 months, and the last birth mom I submitted for was a woman in Washington State. My lawyer said she's open to gays and singles. This is a really good possibility for you, and she's giving birth in like 5 days. And I was like, okay. So I sent my packet in. I'm waiting. The next day, I text my lawyer, I'm like, anything? And he's like, no, but I'm going to text her lawyer. My lawyer shoots me back a text that just read, unfortunately, her lawyer said she will not consider anyone with a Jewish background.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Hold on. Do you have a Jewish background?
Imagine if I didn't. I'd be like, what is she talking? No, I am. All yes, right. I am Jewish.
I was not informed of this. I'm like, Chris, can we just throw?
Should we just end the show?
Throw a break or something?
All right, I'll show myself out. Where's Phil?
I was not informed.
Your dog looks dehydrated.
What single female comedian with a Jewish background?
I know, it's crazy. It's shocking. So when I read that text.
Really? Okay. No problem with single women.
Or gay.
And no gay. No problem
with gays. But anyone with a Jewish background, of course, just so you know, my gut response as a comedian was, you tell that white trash whore that only someone with a Jewish background could afford that baby.
Right.
But guess what? I didn't say that.
Judging. Wow.
I was so like, oh, my God. So then cut to 6 months later. I'm doing a podcast. I get a text from my lawyer. He's like, great possibility. Send your stuff in ASAP. We don't know the medical. I think I just skimmed through it. I was like, okay, whatever. I send my stuff in. 2 hours later, I'm sitting on the couch eating a bowl of whipped cream, Trader Joe's coconut whipped cream, good stuff, and watching Gilmore Girls. And my lawyer calls me and goes, you've been selected. And I go, for what? Like, I was so like, what are you talking about? He goes, Jody, you have to get on a plane tomorrow and go to Kentucky. Your baby was born this morning. And I'm like, where? It was in the middle of a pandemic. I'm like, well, Kentucky. Oh, my God. Like, that was the most traumatic thing about that experience. But I get there, and I mean, there she was. She was in the NICU for 16 days because she's a preemie.
Mm-hmm.
And she had meth in her system, but, you know, she's totally healthy. But I all of a sudden overnight became a mom.
Just,
overnight.
Just to be clear, that was from her mother doing meth.
No, I was doing meth
like
in the room
you.
With her.
Someone who was doing meth.
I just
meth
got in the room and I was like, I need to do a little meth and then oh I'm going to take
God.
This baby home.
Wow.
This was the birth mother's 13th pregnancy, FYI. Apparently, it's a miracle for everyone except for this woman.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Were they all given up?
Well, two were unfortunately a miscarriage and or however you want to look at that. And this, my daughter was lucky number 11. So
Jesus
she
Christ.
Doesn't have any of her children. We have an open adoption and we email and it's and I send her pictures of my daughter.
Well, I was thinking about this. If my biological mom put together one of these packets, mm-hmm. she would never be selected. Ever. I don't care how high on meth you were. I don't care. You could go back 200 years and be in the middle of a famine or a dust bowl or a civil war, and my mom still wouldn't
get selected.
My mom, I'm trying to picture what my mom's packet would look like. It'd be like her sitting on a beanbag eating a TV dinner. Like,
oh
there's nothing. There's no hiking. There's
nothing.
There'd be no mountain
no pets,
bike riding.
No other kids.
No pets. No other kids. No, I love wakeboarding. There'd be no. I'm trying to picture my mom and my dad's packet.
Oh, that's a good
they
thing.
They wouldn't
that's
have
great.
A packet. They would never be so. They would never make the cut. This is a good thing to think about, potential parents.
That is. You're right.
Picture yourself as a packet. I've said this all the time. Like, when you call somebody and your name pops up on their phone,
right.
What do they think?
That's great.
Like, and you really have to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, do they look at it and go, Jody, I wonder what she wants. This could be good, but, or could be, like, we all know the people who pop up on our phone and
yes.
you go, I just don't, you have this thought of like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready. It's, sometimes it's like, I'm not in the mood or I don't even know what this person
yeah.
wants. I don't want to risk it.
I just
it.
Usually go, absolutely not. It's just absolutely not.
Right. But then there's people that pop up and you go, oh,
right.
good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. Right. So think of it. So potential parents, think about your dossier.
That's right.
Being looked at by a stranger. And would they select you? Now, like I said, my mom, never. No one would ever select, yet she had two kids, not our choice. But the point is she had the two kids. So be a more attractive target. Like, picture yourself
yes.
in the dossier of life. And
yes.
what would this packet look like that the potential parent?
And I definitely put together a good packet. It was a well-rounded packet.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I checked all the boxes. I looked.
Did you cook it at all? Like, you're on the crew team at USC?
You know, I didn't cook it like that, but I did take a couple extra pictures with other people's dogs that were properly hydrated. And I was like, look, I've got a dog and a cat. Like, I wanted it to seem like I have so many animals
mm-hmm.
and all of these friends, and I'm so active, yet I work a full-time job.
Right.
And I travel for the holidays. I mean, like, I just, it looks like I'm the, like, most amazing, happiest, well-rounded person in reality. You know, I cry a lot. So, I mean.
So it wasn't a shot of you eating Cool Whip watching Gilmore Girls.
It's Trader Joe's coconut whipped cream.
I know. I was going for comedic effect.
I'm just kidding. So is I. God, Cool Whip is really good, though. It's, you know, it's so funny. You put together this packet and you're like, is this, yeah, this is what I'm presenting. But deep down inside it, I mean, I've always wanted to be a mom and I knew I'd be a good mom. But having said that, it's really hard. I mean, how old are your kids?
15. I have twins.
Oh, God. It's so, I don't even know how you did two at a time. It's so hard when I got that, you know. It's a shock. It's such a shock to your system. And I know this is going to sound morbid and weird, but if anyone's lost a parent out there, they'll know this. Have you lost a parent?
No.
Okay, so I liken that whole experience when I had to fly to Kentucky. I had to spend 16 days in the hospital with her, and then I got to take her home. It was very similar to when my mom was dying. And I mean, it's obviously way better outcome. But your body goes into a shock where you can't really access emotions, but you know you have to get a lot of shit done.
Right.
That's how I felt. I was like,
well, here's the thing, and we'll turn the page.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work if you want to be a good parent.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
If you don't really care about how you'll be judged in later therapy sessions. It's not that much.
How would your mom describe parenting then? Would she say it was
Well, my mom would describe walking to the mailbox as a lot of work. So she would probably still say a lot of work, but she didn't burn a lot of calories on her kids. And kids find their way. I mean, like once it's understood that your parents aren't going to burn any calories or money or food or anything else, you just wander out and sort of find right. your way. You eat dinner at other people's houses. Mm-hmm. You tag along when they're doing their skiing or events or whatever. You just sort of ingratiate.
You just like show up at all these other families' events.
Well, it's like as a kid, I went snow skiing once. That was with my friend Jeff's family.
Right.
I went water skiing once. That was my friend Jeff's family. I went dirt bike riding a few times, motorcycle riding. That was my friend Chris's family. Like, yeah, you start to hang out.
Right, yeah.
And you eat, like, you know, the only pork chops I ever ate from 0 to 30 were at Chris Bohm's house because his mom would do pork chop night. You know, that's – you figure it out. Again, it's a calorie burner if you're like doing homework with them every night and walking them to school and right. doing that. But there's another route.
Okay. Good to know because I'm not there yet. But the first 8 months, I mean, she's only 8 months old. And it is like, God, nobody really talks about, and I think because they're scared they'll be judged, but nobody talks about 0 to 4 months. It's brutal.
Yeah,
it is the worst time. It's like they have, you know, they don't smile at you. It's just a thankless job. They're just a blob. You get no sleep. It's just, it's horrific. And month one came and I was in the middle of the night crying and just thinking, I'm going to have to give her back. I'm going to have to return all the gifts. I'm going to have to break my dad's heart. I'm going to have to just give her back. Like, did I keep the receipt? What am I going to do? I feel like most parents have that thought, but nobody talks about it.
So shifting gears, I'm semi-obsessed with other people's obsession with cleanliness and hygiene and germs. And I've never been germ, as I grew up, a free-range kid, just right. sort of sleeping in dirt and running around and playing sports and all that stuff. I just never used soap or shampoo or washed anything. And now
you had a lot of friends, huh, growing up?
Well, they were like-minded gents, I would say. And we didn't, there was no Purell or any of that stuff. And then people start obsessing with Purell. And then start turning out that the more Purell you use, the more allergies you have. Yes. And there's a direct connection. And everyone should be like Amish, should have indoor and outdoor
yes.
pets and run around outside and get in the dirt
yes.
and
eat
build up
dirt.
Your immune
right.
system and blah, blah, blah. And then COVID hit. And then all the germ people kicked into fucking overdrive.
Oh,
and now they're like spraying down their McDonald's bags before they bring them into the house with Lysol. And so that just gave an opening. Basically, what COVID did is it said, hey, nutty germ white people who are out of problems, go sick. Go to the moon. Hey, politicians who like controlling people, you go to the fucking
yes.
moon. Like, this is an opening. Hey, airlines who don't
yeah.
feel like being nice to customers
oh,
or
yeah.
serving food or
God.
Doing it. Everyone go fuck. Here's your open. The fucking door's open. It's a jailbreak.
Have at it.
Whatever
yes.
you've been trying to do, like Newsom, the worst fucking governor in the world, or moms who are dying or going nuts with soap and germs and airlines who fucking, you stewardess who are tired of smiling at people, good. You'll never have to smile at a person again. You can just yell at them now. You can do what you've always wanted.
Yes.
It was an opening to let everyone do what they've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now, all I've ever wanted to do is not do what other people want to do. So it's been a good opening for me, too. But I was watching TV over the weekend, and they showed a commercial. So everyone is cleaning and scrubbing and rubbing and dubbing, and there's two things we figured out. We got I think it's an electron microscope or something, but we got the actual picture of COVID, like that's at the cellular level,
oh,
you know,
okay.
with the
yeah,
big
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
And the other thing we figured out a few years ago is we can get a picture of germs.
That's right.
And now they can put those germs up and make a little weird ant noise, you know. It's like now all the moms are going nuts, but this product is now trumped all other cleaning products and germ and the bacteria and everything else. Like, we all seen the commercials like, this is what your kitchen counter looks like
oh, yeah.
and all
oh,
that
God.
Kind of stuff. This is actually a shower head because they're explaining how dirty your existing shower head is. I just taped it off of my TV set,
oh
so we have God. To kind of turn it up.
But we got the real commercial.
Oh, you got the real commercial.
God.
Thank you.
Is this a shower head?
It's first off,
is that sanitizer? Please tell me it rains sanitizer.
I love good-looking people enjoying themselves in the shower.
That's how I look when I take a shower, everyone. It's just that look of like, am I masturbating or is my child still sleeping? Like, we don't know what's happening here.
I'll say this. There's two... Here's the women I've been noticing the most on TV. Women really enjoying the fuck out of a shower. And then the other one, which is women devastated because their windshield got a crack in it, like where they go like, oh, and then the safe light person fixes it. But the women are like,
oh. Oh, my God. Everybody has that like, oh, my God, how do I function now?
Yeah. All right. Happy woman in a shower. Here's the commercial.
Can't wait.
Nothing starts your day like a great shower. But wait. Overnight, your shower head is a breeding ground for germs and bacteria.
According
to a recent study, that first blast
in the morning, that's a woman in a mask.
Wake up to AquaCare, the breakthrough handheld shower head with antimicrobial nozzles.
All right.
That's not a real thing, by the way.
It's a point in a society... Other societies do not have drinkable water, clean water, potable water.
Ew.
We are so fucking out of problems as a society that the clean water, the drinkable water that's coming out of the showerhead is no longer good enough.
That's not good enough.
Dangerous.
Now that's not even a real thing.
If I was giving a symposium of why our Western culture is officially out of problems, I would run this commercial.
Yes,
this show me where in Africa they're running this commercial. How many units would they move?
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Also, do you know how many people probably bought that already? And that is just a shower head that they probably
put mine hasn't arrived yet because I just saw it on Saturday. But, yeah.
Until a shower. I want to see a shower that comes out with, like, a mild acid that actually, that's the next thing. It just burns, like, a layer of skin off. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting clean enough.
That's right.
And then your skin just slowly comes off with the soap, and it's just, like, a new layer underneath, and you're not allowed to, like, go out in the sun for 24 hours.
How happy was that good-looking woman in the shower?
Because she was
clean.
And
how devastated was the not so good looking woman with the mask on when the germs were pouring out.
I want to know the casting call for that. They're like very attractive woman who takes showers, and then the other one was like not attractive, wearing a mask. Look at her, like no Botox. Her hair hasn't been dyed. Also, we're going to put a filter over this, and we're going to make the water come out look like stinky.
Right,
but. She's like, I booked a commercial. And they're like, what are you playing? I'm playing ugly woman in mask with germs on body.
I do love the commercial. My favorite commercials are the ones where they take the pedestrian tasks
right.
and turn them into a bridge too far because they're trying to sell you a pot that has a spaghetti colander built into it.
Oh, yeah.
So they show the first one, which is you with a pot of spaghetti, and it's like you're fighting it, and you're wrestling with it, you're trying to put it into the colander.
You can't do it.
Colander falls over,
everywhere.
It's all over the floor. Now, but I think this one takes the cake because this
totally
woman
does.
Can't shower.
She can't shower.
She's being
also,
traumatized
why does
in the
she
shower.
Have, why does she have that mask on? Who else is in the shower that she could possibly get something from?
I'll tell you, who's not in the shower, that hot chick.
No, she's not in that shower. No.
I'd like to think that I could be in the shower with
you
the
You could
hot
possibly.
Chick.
The other chick is obviously showering at the YMCA, and that's a communal shower, and she keeps the mask. Look at her. She's like, get away from me. Warning, germ shower. Germ shower. I didn't see that.
I would also ask this. Why would this woman volunteer? This isn't Auschwitz.
Yeah. I was just going to make a Holocaust joke. Damn it.
I beat all the Jews to their Holocaust joke. What kind of Jew are you? We're this
apparently
goyim.
One who can't get a baby from a woman in Washington.
The goyim just beat you to the Holocaust
Did.
Joke.
Oh.
But why enter the shower only to traumatize yourself shower germs? Why would you do this?
But look how big her shower is. That has to be a communal shower. But look how big. Like, who has a shower that's that massive? You know what I mean?
Also, I'm looking at the reflection in the – I can't help it. I like look at the reflection. Is that a camera guy or is that her naked body?
Oh, wow. Interesting. Dawson, you're chomping at the bit over there.
The choice of voiceover as far as casting goes.
Oh, that's where, it's like, that's where he approaches it.
They got the guy from KTEL's Super Sounds of the 70s.
Oh,
and if you order the Germ Shower right now, let's hear it. Yes. Shower
hits. I have to hear it again. And then I want to hear how you would do it.
Mm. So this is interesting because Dawson sees everything through the lens of the voiceover.
Yeah, right.
I, as an ex-carpenter, if I go into a house or a restaurant, I'm constantly, oh, you went with the base shoe instead of cove molding. You probably see every newborn and like, where'd you get them?
Where'd you get that baby?
Where'd you get that baby?
Where'd you get
what
big
part
lots?
Of Kentucky is that come from? All right, sorry. We'll run it again.
Nothing starts your day like a great shower.
Ooh, good luck,
check. Overnight, your shower head is a breeding ground for germs and bacteria, according to a recent study. First blast of like hot water in the morning.
Coming in at number 8 on the countdown.
I like the Tim Burton scoring too.
Yes.
You know, that's a very Tim Burton score.
You're right.
That's a Tim Burton score. He must have been involved with this.
Oh my God, that's amazing! They should
act
have made
now,
it,
and we'll throw in.
They should have made it like a horror film. You know what I mean? All right.
So, by the way, I tell everyone this is why you have to watch the commercials. Stop fast forwarding through the commercial. The commercials will let you know where we're at as a society. This is where we're at.
Yep.
You showed this shit 20 years ago. People are like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're in a shower.
You're taking a shower. What are you talking about?
You go there to get clean. You have soap.
You don't. Come out dirtier now, people.
That's right. Riddled with germs. Thank God the woman was wearing a mask.
Thank God. I can only imagine what would have happened.
That's probably why she knew what she was walking into.
If only they had those masks at Auschwitz.
You've crossed the line. And she had a paper mask on, too.
The worst kind of mask.
I don't find that would be effective in the shower. Even Fauci.
Yes.
Even Fauci, if you got him drunk, would probably admit you probably don't need to wear a mask in the shower.
Probably, but we don't know. He definitely finds a negative in everything.
You'd have to ply him with some scotch. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Simply Safe wireless outdoor security camera. Big news. Simply Safe just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera. The system, U.S. News and World Report named Best Home Security 2021. Well, it got better. Engineered with the advanced tech and security features to help keep your family safe. Ultra wide, 140 degree field of view. You can keep a watch over your entire yard. 1080p HD resolution, 8 times the zoom to clearly see and capture critical evidence, faces, license plates, and stuff like that. Built-in spotlight. you can also, there's a two-way audio, so you could scare people off if you like. It's simple to set up, takes minutes, easy to remove, rechargeable battery, doesn't need an outlet, so you don't have to hardwire it. And you learn more at simplysafe.com/Adam. They're celebrating by the new camera by offering 20% off your entire system and your first month of monitoring service for free when you enroll in interactive monitoring. That's monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do trending topics. Jody's going to hang with us.
Yeah.
We'll do all that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Your producing skills are lame. Makes fun of how your shows. Okay. You seem to only make things worse when you explain to him how
right. That's Chris Laxamana, who I dubbed Maxipata because it seemed demeaning.
It is demeaning.
Good.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah. That's what you want to do.
The insane thing is he says, I can't believe any of your high school friends have not thought of that name.
I can't either, actually.
It is nothing like my last name.
Maxipata. Look, the point is everyone needs an insulting take on their name.
Yeah, I had Grody Jody.
Right.
I had Chris likes his mama, but I took that as a compliment.
I don't know if you should have.
And sometimes you have to search a little harder. Laxamana is a tough one to turn into a feminine product, but I did it.
Yeah.
It has to be done.
And it was a brilliant move.
Thank you.
I made the mistake of the way it happened. We were recording your audiobook, and I was in the booth, and you called me that just on a whim, and I made a face, and I think because I made the face, it locked it in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like when you box and a guy hits you in the stomach, don't wince. He's going back to the body. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Brush it. It may hurt, but don't make the face. He's coming right back to the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get in some trending topics here. You watching Squid Game, Adam? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I'm not watching it.
It's kind of like the new... It feels like the new Tiger King, where everybody is talking about this new Netflix show. It's a South Korean fictional drama. The contestants are deeply in debt, and they play children's games in order to win a ton of cash.
Creepy children's games.
Yes. The downside is that the losers will be killed.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you watching this, Jody?
I started watching it, and you know when you're like a little too tired and you're like, I can't read right now because like subtitles. So I stopped. I was like, I got to do it when I'm like, I can really pay attention. But I think it's a great concept.
I think the subtitles might help because it forced people to not stare at their phone the entire time while they're watching. So you have to.
Yes. You have to. You definitely have to.
Pay attention to it. Dawson watches it, right?
I gave up on it. I got four episodes into it. It's a pile of garbage.
But it's subtitled.
Yeah, you got to read along with it.
I'm out.
You're out.
I didn't see. I have TV and watch copious amounts of TV in order not to read.
Yeah.
So this is like putting a treadmill at the Golden Corral. Like, I'm here to get fat, people. Yeah. I'm not here to exercise.
Dude.
Like these two things are competing with each other. Readers, get a book. More, go to the park. More power to you. But I'm on this sofa, and I want to see shit move, and I want to hear words come out of mouths, and I want to recognize those words.
It's defeating the point of watching TV. Do you prefer dubbed then? Like, remember how
dubbed's the worst?
All those
the worst.
Old kung fu movies and
that is annoying. But eventually, you'll stop being bumped by it eventually. But you know what's annoying, actually, is I never thought about this, but the Japanese, the Chinese, what's annoying about it is their version of an American voice. That's where anime comes from. It's like, how'd your eyes get so round? Oh, they're American. They have huge, round, saucer eyes. Like, no, we don't. You have small slit eyes. We have eyes that are sort of, I don't know, oval shape or whatever they are, but they're not huge, big, round saucers. So that's your version of us. And then that voice is your version of an American voice. If they would do the voice in a sort of normal, more conversational, and less like, here's an American voice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be bumped by it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of annoying, I know something that also annoys you with media, Adam, and movies, is seeing the 555 number.
Movies,
right? Like, it just...
I would say hearing it.
Even hearing... Oh, yeah. Hearing it is worse.
You know, the worst is when they cut it before they get to the next four letters. So the person, like, on the phone booth, they go, call me back at 555, and then they cut to the other person driving.
Yeah, why not at that point just have a real number?
763, and then cut.
Right.
You do a fucking real number there. Ugh.
Well, I guess it's not a thing in South Korea, because in Squid Game, they showed a business card with a guy's number on it, and it's a real number. People have been calling it, and the guy currently dealing with it, he's reportedly in his 40s. He claims that around 4,000 calls a day are coming in, and loads of text messages sent. And the calls don't just happen during normal waking hours, because it's all over the world. And initially, he thought it was some kind of prank, but realized it was from Squid Game. And it's also the number for his business. So he's just getting flooded by all these people calling the number they saw in the movie.
You also realize, too, like, you can hand someone your card. You don't have to do a tight insert
you
of the card.
You don't ever. You never need that unless that number plays a part in the plot. Like, it specifically, you need. Like, why do you ever need the number? Why?
There's,
just write it down.
There's a way, yes. Like, when you're making a movie or TV show, like, you know how this works. They do that thing where they, like, they show you walking up the person's driveway, and then they go, now we need to get a shot of you walking through the front door, knocking on the door.
You're in the house.
And then the next one, you'll be in the living room. Right. Having that. And I'm always like, just get to the fucking living room.
No because how did you get there? We need these shots. Did you like transport yourself? Did you teleport? Did you just come out of thin air? You need to know, Adam.
I feel like there used to be a lot more of those shots until somebody figured out we don't need all the fucking tight on there the guy is, knocking on the door, close on the handle of the person twisting the knob, you know.
Now, it's like, having said all of that, why are these people calling that number? Like, they know it's not, like, why did those people do it too? Well, all of these people just calling this number.
Well, they may be drunk.
Still though.
I totally agree with you.
Stop calling this random.
Why is it called Squid Game?
I have no idea. I haven't seen.
It's called Squid Game because apparently there was some kind of like tag like hopscotch game in Korea that they played as children growing up. Okay. So they just stole that name.
Right.
All right.
I recently ran into an old friend, and his identity was he always had the crazy ex girlfriend that they always just kept. He just kept getting back in a relationship where they're very toxic and like super crazy. So the reason I haven't been able to get in touch with him is because he keeps changing his number. Mm-hmm. And I go, why do you keep changing your number? He said, well, my ex has an auto dialer. And the second that she finds out my number, she just dials it. And I can't take any
you
other
can't
calls
block it.
The second my phone is on. Yeah, she has an auto dialer, so it changes her number.
Oh.
She went that far just to ruin his life.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't get all the calories burnt for other things that aren't you. But
yeah.
I feel the same way when somebody... You know, if someone tells you to put a mask on when you're hiking outside or something, it's like, where do you get all this energy for others? Mm-hmm. And then also, it's not an infinite amount of energy. And one has in life. One can only burn so many calories per day. How many of those calories do you choose to burn on other people? And then it's never a coincidence that those people don't have a good life. They couldn't have a good life or robust life or fulfilling life because they're burning so many calories on behalf of other human
beings.
Oh,
it's an addiction. She's getting a high every time she does that. And she, you know what I mean? There's a part of her that's like, it's that part of that brain is lighting up. She's like, yes, yeah. She's like feeding it. It's all the people that's like, that have to constantly stalk their ex and go down that rabbit hole. You get something from it. So she's totally getting something from that.
Well, you do. You get some endorphin rush, mm-hmm. but that doesn't help your plight. I mean, you still got your shitty apartment, your shitty futon. Like, but you get some sort of thing out
Having
of that.
Having said that, that's the crazy girl that drives me crazy because she'll get into another relationship after she gets over your friend. And yet I've been single my whole life. And we talked about, like, people look at me like, what's wrong with her? This girl is clear about what's wrong with her. Everyone knows what's wrong with her because everybody knows, like you and probably all your friends, that she does this. Yet she will have another boyfriend, mark my word, this time next year she'll be deep in a new relationship.
I agree.
Are you revengeful people? Like, does that not do anything for you, getting
I
revenge?
Got my house got egged the other day, and I didn't even seek justice.
Why did it get egged?
You have teenage kids, somebody's gonna egg your house. My house has been TP'd like 5 times.
Your house is a mission to egg too. It's kind of hard to get to, so it wouldn't be one of my top
choices.
So they
went out of their way to egg
your house. Yes, yeah. It's not like they were jogging with an egg and slipped and the egg flew out of their hand and hit my living room window. That was
that
was an intentional hit. Yeah.
I had a friend that was a pizza delivery guy, and if they didn't tip him well, he would destroy. He was in high school. He would destroy their house and somehow TP eggs something.
Yeah,
remember.
But I did not seek revenge on those who
I didn't
threw
I don't
the
either.
Eggs.
I don't seek revenge.
Yeah, you don't need it. Living well is the best kind. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go. You want to talk some football?
Yeah,
well, I can't wait.
You're going to the Rams game. I just heard.
Yeah, I think so. I guess
maybe.
I don't know. You know, I gotta say something. Sonny just came in here moments ago. I was like, oh, Sal's got tickets to the Rams game.
And your response was, that sounds interesting, by the way. That's what you said. That sounds interesting.
Well, you got to understand, I've been on the fucking road for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah.
And last week, I came back from Detroit and then watched 10 minutes of football and then had to pack it up and go to Gina's wedding an hour away. I was so looking forward to just cracking a beer and like loosening my pants and vegging out and watching TV. Right. And now it's like parking and where are we going and here we go and all that shit. And I was like, that sounds like something to do. Like I was planning on nothing.
I saw those gears turning a little bit when you were figuring.
I've just been running around, and all I want to do is go over there and watch some football and veg out and whatever. And the thing about like going to a Rams game or any game, it's like it's fine. It's $100 to park a mile from the thing, and it's clusterfucky.
Yes,
but anyway.
Well, South Carolina people are tweeting this to us, Adam, because this is something that you. You were hip to back in 2016. We could just watch the play, but this is a Saturday's game, South Carolina versus Troy. And it's a pretty crazy play.
Quarterback gets stripped, sacked, and then somebody picks it up and they run.
Fumble again.
Then somebody scoops it and runs 55 yards. No one around them. Nothing but daylight. All alone. Flips the ball before he crosses the goal line.
Yes, at before the goal line, resulting in a touchback. And this was like a trend, Jody, back in 2016. Like every week this would happen. And and one time I was in Coronado with Adam, and we were watching the Cal versus Texas game, and Adam's sitting there, and we're talking about how Cal all of a sudden got really good at football.
So Cal was a bunch of studious white guys who got destroyed by USC and all the other schools back then. And Chris didn't know that because he knew Cal is a better team now. Yeah. And I'm sorry, you can continue the story.
So Adam's just sitting there sipping on his drink and just dropping some gnoll on me and just goes, look, This is a team now that since they're getting really good at football, they're getting guys that will probably just they're the kind of guys that drop the ball at the one.
Right, basically, what I was saying, I didn't want to say black guys.
You did. I didn't want to say.
He said, "Why did Cal suck and why are they good now?" And I'm like, I didn't want to say black guys.
I just
described them as the kind of fellas who would throw the ball before they crossed the line, the goal line.
We're watching the game. Minutes later.
It happened.
Maybe the next play.
Yeah. It happened. Vic Onwar, I think that was his name, but yeah, we can watch it. Does exact same thing.
Why? Just hold on to it.
It's stylish.
Is it?
It was a black guy. A fast black guy. You know what? But here's an interesting thing. At some point, the coach is going to have to like address the team and go, look, you carry that ball tight and you make sure that you're 3-4 yards into the end zone before you let it go. But here's the thing, you learn as a parent the same sort of speech, which is what you really need is, okay, I have a meeting just for the black players. Except for you can't say that. Right. No. So you got to have a bunch of guys like Dean Steinkuhler and stuff, like big guards, you know, big white, slow, sluggish. You know, when like an offensive lineman scoops up a ball and goes, he's hanging on to it while they're on the sideline. Like they're trying to fucking, the ref's trying to get the ball back for them. Those guys are like holding the ball with three hands. Yeah. They run. And by the way, they cross the goal line. They're still fucking running for the tunnel. Like you see when the big lumbering white guy scores, like those guys, they don't have any of that. But as a coach, you couldn't say, so you'd have to get the whole team together. And then you'd just have a bunch of giant interior linemen, white guys just looking at you kind of confused because you're pretending like they might score a touchdown and do this. But
you know who they're talking about.
Well, let's put it to you this way. I never want to appear to be racist, but.
But.
This has happened. College and pro level at this point, but mostly college level, probably high school. Has there been a documented case of a white guy doing it?
I don't even think that's Googleable. I don't know if I'd be able to find
it. And by the way, this is up there with the stereotype of the big dick. I mean, it's really saying you guys run a 4.3 40 and score a lot of touchdowns. This is kind of a compliment if you really want to turn it that way.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sports, Draymond Green
Black guy.
That
guy could drop the ball before he crossed the goal line. Yeah.
So he could. He did the well. He plays basketball, thank goodness. So he plays for the Golden State Warriors, and his teammate Andrew Wiggins has said that he's not going to get the vaccine. He's one of a few players that have been saying it, and the NBA confirmed that. If you, for at least for like New York and San Francisco, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't play at your home games because they're indoor games, and everybody in that building has a mandate to get the vaccine. And if you don't play your home games, we're actually not going to pay you for those either. So we're cutting half your salary for not playing your home games. So Draymond Green was asked about this, and here's what he said. It's been going around.
That would be like me telling him, like, "Yo, your wife is going into labor."
Because he's a leader of the team.
How dare you leave this team and not go tend to your wife?
Get your kid from Kentucky. You don't have to deal with all that
shit.
That's
something that's personal to him. That's health related. That's, you know, something that's personal to his family. This is no different. This is, you know, we're dealing with something that to me feels like has turned into a political war. When you're talking about a vaccination and non-vaccinated, I think it's become very political.
Well, he's all right. Here's the deal.
You get it.
All right. First off, no analogies are ever good with COVID. You know, there's one side's like, would you ride a motorcycle without a helmet? And then there's like, if your wife was going into labor, would you? Here's the deal. If you had it, then you have natural immunity. Then you don't need to get the shot. That's the news. That they didn't want you to know that news because they want you to get the shot. And they we have that fucking clip of Rand Paul. Where is that clip? You heard me yelling about Fauci 3 weeks ago with this. Well, we don't know. Well, we don't know. No, if you had it, you have natural immunity. I know that doesn't mean you're going to be crate trained by the fucking government, but fine. You have it if you've had it. So really what we need is it's like, people that have had it have natural immunity. People that have gotten COVID have a much better outlook, although you can still get it and you can still spread it. And then there's the third group that hasn't had it, hasn't gotten the vax, and they're rolling the dice.
Right.
But we need, as a society, to make a distinction. We need three categories. It's not you've been vaccinated or you haven't been vaccinated. There's a third category, which is you've had it and you have natural immunity to it. We'll play the Rand Paul.
So this Rand
grilling,
Paul, this is he's talking to Javier Becerra. Javier said at a forum, some flat earthers, especially those in places of influence, chose to peddle fiction and we're losing more of our loved ones.
Right.
And Rand Paul took
some fucking
hysterics.
All right. Stupid or liar. With Xavier Becerra, stupid or liar, he's running at the HHS. He's not heard of this report out of Israel. Stupid or liar? He's lying, but we'll play it.
With an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually seven times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally.
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
He's familiar with the study. It flies in the face of his theme, which is get vaccinated, bitches. Do what we tell you to do. That's it. He knows. Of course he knows the study. It's 2.5 million out of a fucking ally nation, Israel. You know it, bitch. You don't want to say it. You don't want to say it because you just want everyone to get jabbed, which is noble, except for... we're following the science. Remember the adults, we're going to enter the room and then we're going to follow the science. Well, you know, actually, the adults are in the room and they're treating everyone like fucking kids. This is what you do to your kid. You fucking lie to them and you just go, I want you your asparagus. Otherwise, the boogeyman's going to get you. And you go, okay. And then someone goes, why did you lie to him? And you go, because I want him to eat the asparagus. It's good for him. Yeah, he's not familiar with this study. He's not familiar. Okay.
That gets you out of it.
All right, sorry. We'll play it. Sorry.
Might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science. The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection. Even the CDC does not recommend measles vaccine if you have measles immunity. The same was true for smallpox. But you ignore history and science to shame the flat earthers, as you call them. You should be ashamed of yourself and apologize to the American people for being dishonest about naturally acquired immunity.
Yeah. By the way, this fucking naturally acquired immunity, they knew about a long time ago. Yes. They've been playing it down, playing it down. Fauci, oh, yeah, we don't know. We don't know how resilient. We don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You've not read the report. You don't know. You're not familiar with. What the fuck are you doing? What do we need you for? Mm-hmm. You're not familiar? He's lying. Of course he's lying.
Of course he is.
He would get that report first before anyone got that report. He knows it well. Yep. He has a theme. The theme is, we're going to tell you to do a bunch of shit. We're going to tell you to wear a mask on a hike. We're going to tell you to wear a mask after you've been vaxxed. We're going to tell you that somehow the non-vaxxed are dangerous to the vaxxed. We're going to tell you a bunch of shit, and anything that flies in the face of this fucking thing that we're doing. We shut down outdoor dining in California based on zero.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Zero. Zero. There is no outdoor transmission. Do you know that? There's no cases of outdoor. Right. The one case out of Wuhan, they think maybe anecdotal outdoor. What are we wearing masks for outdoor? What's going on? My kids are fucking playing, you know, PE with their fucking mask on at school. Where's the science, you fuckers? You're lying. Of course you're lying. Now, then the bigger question, why are you lying? They're fucking crate training.
They are. They keep everyone in fear.
Get the fucking kids, mask them up, get them in the fucking crate. Jab them, mask them, put them in the fucking crate, and get them used to it. Get them used to this. I don't know. Now, again, it all depends what kind of politician you are, because Rand Paul doesn't want to fucking crate train, but everyone else wants to get into this crate training. Mm. And it's fucking sad. And here is an even deeper thought. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this. So Newsom in California just said, like, everyone needs to be vaccinated. All the teachers need to be vaccinated. Yeah. Everyone. United Airlines, all employees, we're going to let 600 people go. They're not vaccinated. Everyone's not vaccinated. All ignoring the natural immunity part. But, okay, fine. Here's an interesting unintended or possibly intended consequences of this. You have, let's just say, LA Unified, and you have, you're saying, or whatever your large entity business is, you're saying, if you don't get vaccinated, you cannot come back. You can't do your job.
Yep.
You're dismissed. Fine. So what it's going to do is it's going to take the people, and you hear the teachers and you hear the healthcare workers and hear the whatevers. They go, I'm an American. I'm allowed to have autonomy when it comes to my decisions. I answer to God or whatever. I'm this, I'm that. I have natural immunity, whatever it is. I'm not going to do this. So now you have a small group of people who used to be on campus, college, high school, junior high, whatever it is. You have the last group of people that were fucking preaching sort of conservative thoughts and American thoughts. They're now gone.
Mm-hmm.
We've eliminated all those fucking people who flew in the face of this is a racist, homophobic, misogynistic patriarch. All those fucking liars. Now it's just them. And they have the campus to themselves, because no longer do you have the woodshop teacher who is the Vietnam vet who's talking about being an American and saluting the flag. That guy won't get vaxxed. He's had it. He's not doing it for moral reasons or constitutional reasons. So you've now thinned the herd. You got rid of the troublemakers, and now it's fucking sheep on sheep crime. Yeah. So now all you have is the fucking sheep. It can be United Airlines. It could be LA Unified. We just have the sheep, and we're going to start the crate training with the kids.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now.
And just like anything, if you take away resistance, it'll all atrophy.
All right. I'm out of gas. You got... You got, do we have an outro for Chris?
Hit it.
Max Zapata. His real name's Laxamana.
All right, let me tell you about Fight Camp. Want to learn how to box or kickbox from real fighters? Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym to your home. Full body workouts you'll actually look forward to. And freestanding punching bag that you can... hit as hard as you want, made for beginners and experts as well. Learn from six highly qualified trainers. Comes with all the gear you need, including a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and punch tracking sensors to measure speed, volume, and output. Great for kids. And no heavy weights, no spinning wheels, nothing dangerous. This is the real deal. And... good for self-esteem as well. It's Fight Camp, right, Dawson?
You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months for less than the cost of a boxing gym and get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/Adam. To get free shipping on Fight Camp, go to joinfightcamp.com/Adam. joinfightcamp.com/Adam.
All right, we'll take a break. We have Unprepared from Solana Beach with me and Adam Ray. Chris whacked it together. It's a full segment, and I'm told good. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll play that right after this.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.